I'm doing the Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2 verses 1 through 10. And this is Hannah's prayer. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversary, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed."
Will the children come forward today? Hi, Jack. Hi, Brighton. Hi, Devin. Hi, Elena. Hi. What?
One thing I want to say.
Okay.
About since you just talked about in the Bible, about how it's hard to explain, but isn't what's it have something to do with how God created and is? I don't get that.
How God created?
No, I don't get what she was talking about.
From the songs today?
No, from what you were saying.
What Mary was reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Okay. Sure. Well, that's a good question to ask. And it's okay to ask questions. In fact, church is a great place to ask questions. A lot of people come to church to get answers. You know, kind of like getting answers for a test to study. But our faith and our walk with Jesus Christ, it's not a final exam. It's not about having the answers. Jesus is the answer. It's about learning how to ask questions. And it's okay to ask questions. Many of us here today, we might not be outwardly asking questions, but we're asking questions because there's been a lot of things going on in the world that cause us to ask more questions. So it's okay to ask questions. So what Mary was reading was from 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 10. And it was a prayer. It was a way of a woman. Her name was Hannah. And she was saying thank you to God because she wasn't able to have kids, but she prayed and went to the temple and prayed and asked God that so she could have kids. And she even promised that if she was going to have a kid, that she would, when she becomes a mother, she would even dedicate her child to God. And so what happens is Hannah prays. This is after she has a child. Her prayers were answered because God answers prayers, right? God answers prayers. Isn't that really cool?
Although it's not always how we expect.
It's not always how we expect. And so she basically says, "I am so happy in the Lord in my heart. And that my strength is returned or is lifted up because of God." Her strength is in God. And so then she says, basically, the people who were being mean to her, her enemies, the people who were bullying her and telling her she couldn't have children, she says, I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, like God. No one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And then she talks about how some people, they're kind of proud, and they kind of, do you know anybody that brags?
I don't brag.
People that brag and they make you feel bad? Yeah. Well, she's saying that people have no need to brag or to be proud. Let not arrogance, which means bragging. Let not bragging come from your mouth, because God is a God of knowledge, not just knowledge here, but God knows you. God loves you. He has a relationship with us. And by God, our actions are weighed. And then she uses all these beautiful pictures where she talks about the bows of the mighty are broken and the weak get strength. The people who are hungry get food. She's excited because God, if God did that for her and helped her in her time of need, then she can help someone else in their time of need. Just like what we're doing here. How many of you all are excited about helping people to bring food up here, to help people who are hungry, to give them something to eat so they have meals for Thanksgiving? This is the turning of the tables. This is how God takes what's wrong and makes it right. And we get to be a part of that. Isn't that great? That we can help and bring food to bless others and to let them know that God loves them. Would you all like to say an echo prayer? Dear God, thank you that we can ask you questions. And that we don't have to have all of the answers. Because Jesus, you are the answer. Thank you, God, that we can help others. And thank you, God, that you helped Hannah. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's the New Testament. Okay. The New Testament readings from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading today is from Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This may take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
You may be seated.
Will you pray with me?
Father, your word is a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and marrow, joint and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. God, may you speak through your Holy Spirit and through your word, through my weakness and my fragility today as the pastor of this church. And may you uphold us through your word and be our strength. Amen. When I was a boy, Saturday mornings were my favorite time of the week. And I was always eager to get up in my pajamas and kind of tiptoe and go get my bowl of Captain Crunch and sit in front of the television and watch Saturday morning cartoons. Do they even have Saturday morning cartoons now? I don't know. I don't watch TV much, but I remember Saturday morning cartoons. But sometimes I got up too early, like when there was the time change and I forgot to change my clock in my room. I got up an hour too early and I went to turn on the TV and I was all ready. And I turn on the local station and there was no cartoons. There was one of those annoying infomercials. You've all seen the infomercials, right? And what's the thing about the infomercials that you always see in each of them? They're trying to get you to buy something. Act now! There's only so much time to buy this. And if you buy this right now, we'll throw in an extra, you know, potato peeler and a dicer and a this. But wait, there's more! But wait, there's more. And sometimes I remember staying up late as a teenager. And I couldn't sleep one night, and I remember being fascinated. And sometimes there's the infomercials on late, and other times there were these crazy televangelists who were prophesying and reading all the headlines, and everything was about the Antichrist and the coming of Jesus, and they were trying to predict and pinpoint, and it was just like fear, 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 fear. And the guy had scripture memorized, and everything was scripture, scripture, scripture. But it just made me feel afraid and insecure. But no matter how many times that this person, this televangelist, who always was asking for donations and trying to sell the latest video, and they had the Hollywood-style voiceover guy in the background, you know, there was always this sense of, but wait, there's more? But wait, there's more. And here we are in Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Jesus just came out of the temple. The temple, the second rebuilt temple of the Jews. The monument to their devotion to God's covenant faithfulness. The temple that had been the source of pride in the kingdom of Israel the first time, after it was built by Solomon, that eventually it was destroyed and the Israelites were taken into exile to be slaves in the Babylonian Empire. And now here's the second temple, more than 400 years after the last prophet of the Old Testament had warned. And now the fulfillment of these prophecies came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God and the Son of Man, and the one whom many believed to be the Messiah that were following him. But their vision of Messiah was more of an earthly political king that would come to liberate them from the slavery and from the oppression of the Roman Empire, and that would put the Jews back in charge, back at the center of culture. That they would be a once mighty institution again.
But we know that in the book of Genesis, there was another monumental building project. It was called the Tower of Babel, or Babel. People were all of one voice, one language. They all came together, and they were so focused on what they were going to do for and to reach God themselves, in solidarity, in unity. But God had told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. They were supposed to spread out and be diverse. And yet they all came together with one goal. So God was forced to come down to topple the tower and to confuse them. And so they were all speaking in different languages. That they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't reach God apart from God reaching to them through the relationship that we know now is in Jesus Christ. And so just like the first temple and the Tower of Babel, now we have the second temple, which wasn't near as great as the first temple, but it was the best they could do. And it was the center of the institution of Judaism at that time. When people came to Jerusalem, if you were a Jew, you had to go to the temple. You were making pilgrimage. It contained the Holy of Holies. But Jesus got to the temple and he wasn't impressed, was he? He was disgusted. He flipped over the tables and drove out the money changers. Last week we learned about how Jesus saw the faith of a frail, poor widow who gave all that she had, the two mites that barely made a sound in the treasury that was probably going to be misappropriated or used for some new shiny thing in the temple instead of to feed the poor or to help the needy. Jesus is not impressed by the temple, but yet his disciples still are enthralled with the temple. And here it says in verse 1, as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Jesus was right. In 70 AD, the Romans sacked Jerusalem. And not one stone was left on top of one another, except what we have today as the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. That was all that was left. And now what has been built over it is the Dome of the Rock, one of the largest Muslim mosques. Over what would have been the Holy of Holies. Things didn't turn out the way that they had hoped. But Jesus warned them, all will be thrown down. When we put our trust in a religious institution, when we look to the church to save us instead of Jesus Christ to save us and to change us, when we trust in our own abilities of what we can do for God instead of remembering what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, it's all going to be thrown down. We're going to be disappointed because we've placed our faith in the wrong place instead of in the person, instead of in God, in His faithfulness. God kept His word and kept His promise so that Jesus, when He came, He fulfilled the law in the Old Testament in His very life. And then being the perfect, obedient, faithful Son of God and representative of Israel, who did not shirk his responsibility, who did not deny the truth that Israel failed. Israel had missed the mark, and Israel was not representing the character of God. That they were becoming the oppressors instead of having been the oppressed. So Jesus came and he fulfilled both sides of it. God's side and ours. And he became the sacrifice on the cross for our sins. So that we can come to God with confidence. So that we cannot be an institution, but can remain a global movement. A movement that is from the grassroots up to the ivory tower. A movement that is of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That we can be through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Word made flesh for the world. That it's Christ in us and in you and I. The love of Christ that changes our lives. The love of Christ that makes us different and distinctive. The love of Christ that makes us not be afraid. But to remember that Jesus warned us that things are going to happen. And things may get worse. But wait, there's still more. Verse 3, he says, when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will this be? And what will this be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Now, who else in the Gospels have been asking for signs? Or asking for proof? Or asking for dates and confirmations? The religious leaders. By what signs, what authority are you doing these things? See, the disciples are defaulting back to the institutional mindset. They want the answers instead of learning how to ask questions. And so Jesus began to say to them, beware. Beware that no one leads you astray. Beware that no one leads you astray. Who are we following? Who is leading us? Who is leading you? Is it Christ? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it God's Word? Or is it the news headlines? Is it the politicians? Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. We've seen many false Christs and false prophets. Even, especially in the modern day. Many of you remember Jim Jones and the tragedy in Guyana. He was a pastor and he led people astray. Or Harold Camping and his trying to predict when Jesus was going to come back. And people quit their jobs and they hoard all these things to survive. And then the day came and it didn't happen. Then Jesus says something even more striking. He says, when, not if, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. But wait, there's more. For nation will rise against nation. That is, people group will rise up against people group. And kingdoms will rise against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Isn't that puzzling? Isn't that a mystery? How Jesus turns the corner and says, this will be but the beginning of the birth pangs. The process and the ordeal and the pain and the suffering and the sacrifice that mothers go through in giving birth. The worst pain in your life. And then there's the birth. And you see the image of God in your child as a mother, as a parent, as a grandparent. It's all worth it. All that suffering, somehow out of nothing, God makes life. And out of chaos, and out of disorder, and out of fear and turmoil that we see in our world that is desperate for God and tries to find God in all the wrong places, in technology, in sexual gratification, in religious institutions. God brings life out of nothing. But wait, there's more. Jesus has promised to come, to return, to make things right. Hannah's prayer is going to come true. Jesus is coming. But we must beware and not be led astray. Who is leading you today? May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be the one who leads you step by step. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God,
And I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. It may come a time where we are led step by step by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. It might be in our day, it might be in our grandchildren's day. But many people around the world are faced with that reality where they are deciding to follow Jesus and to lay down their lives for the sake of others so that they know that God loves them. I pray that we, if faced with those difficult decisions, will stand for Christ and will take one step each day and remember to take up our cross and follow Jesus and to not put our trust in institutions or in politicians, but to put our trust in God who loves us and who keeps his promises, even our promises to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, thank you that you keep your promises. Thank you that you warned us ahead of time about the state of our world and our capacity for evil and our capacity to be led astray by the deceit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you died for our sins. Thank you, God, that you made a way for us, that you gave us the gift of your Holy Spirit to cleanse us from our sins and to make us like Jesus, to make us faithful, to make us humble, to make us compassionate. From this moment, and for the rest of our lives, Lord Jesus, may you be our leader. We pray this as the church in Jesus' name. Amen. May God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit protect you and guide you and lead you this week as you serve God and love your neighbor and love without fear in the authority and the power of Jesus' name. Amen.